This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
At 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
And I know that's hearsay here. It's
not hearsay, it's not heresy. Hearsay.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hi, welcome to ENN, which is delivered by DoorDash. Sign up for Dash Pass from DoorDash today and try it free for 30 days. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Happy birthday, boo.
And I'd like to say good evening to Don.
There'd be cake. There'd be paint the tail on the donkey.
I wonder where that all started.
Pin the tail on the donkey?
No, isn't that offensive to donkeys? Humiliating?
I think Pete has put an end to that.
Laura, at Laura's wonderful birthday party for Kenza.
You know, when you throw a birthday party for a one-year-old, you're doing it for your friends. The kid has no planet she's on.
We do have the ability to take pictures and video, Michael, my God.
But still, the kid doesn't know what's happening.
Well,
I know, but he will. I wish I can go back to my first birthday. And Marco and Jalen will be able to because there's documentation.
But in all fairness, you know what I'm finding about Michael a lot, Don? He points out things that are true, but he says it like they're so bad, right? Okay, the first birthday party is about the parents, not the kids.
Totally.
Yes. But that's okay. That's what it is. I didn't go. I love Laura's daughter. Love her. I would do anything for that child. But
cookies.
I didn't go for Kenza. She's one. She doesn't care. I went because it's a big deal for Laura.
The
right?
Big question is, did Kenza get the gift that day, or is it coming in like 6 months?
An amazing gift was given that day.
Really? Wrapped?
I think you went savings bond.
It was actually a tough wrapping situation.
Ooh.
And it ended up just in a bag, not wrapped. It wasn't a hard... There was no hard. I would have had to go get a separate box and put it in a box and then wrap it. So it's like it was in a multiple bags and then had a card with it.
So it was a stuffed toy.
It was a stuffed item. It wasn't
okay.
A toy. It wasn't a toy. But it was really a lovely event. And when people were going for the pinata, I saw some incredible shots that would not take these pinata out. They had to eventually punch the pinata with someone's fist about 5 times to loosen it up so a kid could hope to open this thing.
I've had the same experience at a Cali birthday party. Kids were almost getting blinded. They were swinging baseball bats like they were Albert Pujols. It was unbelievable.
You can't crack it. You have to help them open it, or it's never going to end. But I got to tell you, what a great job on candy they did inside this pinata. It was no nonsense, just like jawbreakers and now and laters. It was really high level stuff. Well, let's start out with a serious story and get this out of the way so we can have some laughs. But of course, the story that rocked the NFL today is that of Raiders wide receiver Henry Ruggs III, who is facing a DUI charge leading to death. There was an accident. A fiery vehicle crash early Tuesday morning in Las Vegas that left a woman dead and Ruggs and his female passenger injured, according to authorities. The Las Vegas Metro Police say that Ruggs was driving a Corvette a little before 3:40 a.m. when it crashed into the rear of a RAV4 on a busy thoroughfare in a residential area several miles west of the Strip. The Toyota caught fire. And the driver died. She was not immediately identified. Ruggs, who's 22 years old, in his second season in the NFL and playing well, he showed signs of impairment, according to police. So the charge will be felony DUI resulting in death. Ruggs and his passenger were hospitalized, and his injuries were described as non-life-threatening.
Used to think when you hear stories like this, I believe that athletes have God complexes where things have gone their way their whole life because they've been blessed with a talent that most people don't have, and they reach heights that most people only dream of. But then Don said something earlier really made me think. It's not just athletes. That's what we read about. This happens every day in the world. It has nothing to do with a God complex. People are dumb. And people, I think people don't realize when they're as impaired as they are. They should just make a blanket decision. If I'm going to drink at all, whether it's one drink or two, I'm not driving. And an athlete has the smallest excuse of all. No one should have an excuse, but they have so much money, so much wealth, that getting a car service would be nothing for them.
Listen, you don't have to name any names, but I'm sure we've all been in situations at parties where we've seen, you know, people were drinking. Maybe we didn't keep track. But people were drinking, and you know they're driving home. Now they don't look impaired. They're not stumbling all over themselves. I think we would all step in and say, you're not getting behind the wheel of a car. But how do we know, just by sight, that every single one that leaves that party is under the legal limit? There's no way we could know.
Nope.
And yet it happens all the time. So this isn't an NFL problem, an athlete problem, a famous person problem. This is just, we love and we're addicted to our cars, and we think we're okay to drive home.
It's terrible.
Again, it makes us sound like, you know, Puritans, which we're not. But whenever Jody and I go out, if one of us drinks, the other one won't. We just won't. Even if it's one drink, we will. The other one will not have a drink. We will not go behind the wheel of our car and lose everything that our life is about.
Right.
For stupidity. We just won't do it.
And you do realize that mentality is clearly in the minority.
Yeah, and I don't get it. It's so easy.
No, because people think they're okay. They really do. And I'm not trying to explain away the behavior, but I think it's just fact that people have their mental thought in their mind that I can have X amount of beers or X amount of drinks and I'm okay. And they're probably wrong, but they've been getting away with it because they don't know what the legal limit is. You know, you could be above the legal limit and swear that you're sober. And I'm sure a lot of these guys, Ruggs possibly got behind the wheel and probably figured I'm okay. They install these breathalyzers in cars for people that have had DUIs before. Why? It should be in every car.
Boy, I almost said that earlier. I know I thought that people would mock me for it, but if it's in every car, you cannot start your car without breathing into it.
How is that any different than a seatbelt that automatically, you know, gets on you or whatever? You know, I just think that what is so wrong with that? Because I do think that people, I bet there are a lot of people that would be surprised that they're above the legal limit when they drink.
Awful. Charges have not been filed yet, but he faces 2 to 20 years if convicted. So let's move to New York football. We'll start with the Jets. Keelan Cole, who's had some funny pressers so far this season, says he refuses to get sucked into the quarterback controversy.
All right. This is what we're going to do. We're not going to ask these simple questions that I could have, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what you think he did?
No one cares what I think.
We got a W. Nobody cares what I think either. He won. Mike White, he came in, did his job, back up off the bench. He did what he was supposed to do. He earned another job in future life. He did Mike White things that we see all the time. What else you want? He threw the ball to the open receivers like a quarterback. He executed the game plan, and we won.
You say he does, like he did Mike White.
Oh,
I see what happened. I mean, the fact is that there has not been.
Honestly, I think if Joe Flacco was in there, he would have did the same thing. If Josh Johnson was in there, he would have did the same thing. If Zach was in there, he would have did the same thing. That's my point of what I'm saying.
What you think of his
It's the Bengals. Like, you can't compare the Bengals to the Falcons and all. Like, I feel like they all would have did the same thing.
Keelan, quarterback. After your
quarterback,
after
your, after every
your
quarterback
catch was your catch.
Even Jameson Crowder.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Zach Wilson hasn't done it yet. Why would he have done it that day?
I wonder what they saw in Cincinnati. I mean, Listen, again, this is when you start getting into the football talk that I think it's hard to sort of break down if you're not a football person. Is that something that Cincinnati does, that they're like a super easy team to move the ball on?
No. What they did was the Jets took what they gave them. They played back. They gave them a lot of cushion, so the Jets took the underneath, and they had a lot of yak.
But I do think what's interesting is it's not like he came in after the first play and they weren't prepared for him. He played the week before. Everybody knew Wilson was out. This Bengal team prepared for Mike White. Now, they didn't have a lot of information on him, but that's a good job out of him. Can't say Cincinnati was surprised.
I thought that Ryan Clark brought up a good point. You know, LaFleur called a game. Sometimes you call a game thinking, you know, this is a superstar. I've got to have superstar calls. I think he called a very simplistic game with some wrinkles in it because he wasn't trying to, you know, make the phenom look like a phenom.
Right. And also, what's Wilson's accuracy problem? It's on the short pass for whatever reason.
That's true.
Robert Saleh talked about why he brought in former NFL great John Beck to work with Zach Wilson.
Just going through discussion, you know, it was at the bye week. He went to see John, and we were just talking, and I was like, well, why not just bring him here? So we just started talking about it, and then everything, one thing leads to another, and now there's just a really good plan in terms of how to get him through the rest of the year and keep himself connected and keep everything tight. At the same time, you know, a lot of people could look at it and say, well, geez, you got a lot of guys in the quarterback room, and for us, it's more consolidating voices for him, so it's all in one building. And just the idea was to, it's really like we said, we're going to do everything we can to help this quarterback, to the quarterbacks, not just him, but the quarterbacks. And obviously, everything that we do, every decision that we make, every transaction that's made, and I mean, it is what it is. It's for the quarterback room. It's to try to make sure that room is always at its absolute best, which is no different than the rest of them. But, you know, obviously, we all agree that the quarterback can be a game changer.
You know what this is? LaFleur is going to be upstairs. John Beck will hold your hand now.
There's a lot of effort here to hold his hands.
Oh, boy, yes.
Well, he's got a lot of power. Trying to make him feel
comfortable. Futures are riding on him.
Well, trying to make him feel comfortable is important. So let's go with conspiracy theory B. Is Zach Wilson the reason why they didn't have a veteran quarterback backing him up?
You know, if we ever go back in the studio and we're cleared to go back in the studio, I'm going to insist that Jennifer Aniston has to be there.
I like that take from you.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
It's the only way I will feel comfortable to look over at Jennifer and think of Rachel Green, and then I'll be able to do it.
It's a
arrangement.
That never changes. I mean, this has been two decades now. That's
and
powerful
stuff. And you
know
what? She's powerful.
Yeah. So you feel the same for her now as you did 20 years ago?
With a more intense burning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it the burning of friends, Jennifer, or
are you? Is it, you know, morning show?
Well, really,
burning?
All I know bosses. Is Rachel Green. I really don't know Jennifer. But, so she just seems like a delight. Even Jody agrees.
But what about the morning show, Jennifer?
I don't like that character, to tell you the truth, because it reminds me of a character that I know about. And that's, I'm sure, who it was fashioned after.
And who was that?
I'm not going to say.
Interesting.
You can figure it out.
Let's hear Joe Douglas giving an assessment of where Joey the Jets are right now.
I can't help but think about where we are as a team and our youth and where they are and how much of a credit that is to Coach Saleh and his staff and just their ability to develop and work with all these young players. And again, with this youth, I feel like we have a really interesting mix of, obviously we lead the league in rookie snaps, and so that's a lot for first year staff. And to their credit, they've attacked it since day one, and they've done a great job developing these young players.
Wow, what a difference a week makes, huh?
Yeah,
taking bows. A week ago at this time.
That's what I was about to say.
Isn't that funny? Sky was falling. So, listen, you do what you got to do, right? And I'm not saying Joe Douglas is wrong, but right, Peter, like a week ago, if he said those things, we'd be like, what, is he out of his mind?
I know, this week,
these guys out of town.
And this week he's giving credit to people. You know, you guys got to give remarkable credit, you know, because, I mean,
God, football is such a funny sport in that sense. It happens so quick. Now, Joe Judge, if you haven't heard, says that some of the issues they had last night with regard to the poor use of timeouts had to do with the headset issue.
Hello?
Yeah, that's right. And Joe
Who's
Judge.
This?
Yeah, no, again, that's actually real. We have some more audio from last night. That's weird.
Hi, who am I speaking to, please?
Judge was asked on the conference call again about the headsets.
We'll talk with the league. They're looking into resolving the issues that we've had throughout the year. We'll talk continuously with them. Look, that being said, I made it very clear last night, I'm not an excuse maker. I was asked a direct question in terms of, you know, why we're using timeouts in certain situations, and that's the reason right there. So that's all I'm going to say about the headsets right there. So, you know, beyond that, I'll answer any questions about the Chiefs and moving on to the Raiders.
Well, hey.
Moving on to the Raiders, really? He's channeling Belichick?
Yeah, that's his guy. So, but there's still, somebody's not telling the truth. He's saying the league's looking into it, and the league already looked into it and said, no, sorry, everything's good.
And then they cut a commercial for Bose right after that.
How about this? The Giants, they have a stat for pass rush win rate, meaning how often your pass rush is getting to the quarterback. Their win rate at pass rush was 3%.
Holy crap.
Meaning they broke through within 2.5 seconds on just one of 33 possible dropbacks. It's the worst pass rush win rate by any team in the last 4 seasons. That's over 890 games.
Wow.
No one got to the quarterback less than the Giants did last night.
Anthony, I think we need Boone to weigh in on this.
What?
Yeah. Mahomes, by the way, speaking of last night's game, leads the NFL right now with 10 interceptions. He's the first former MVP to lead the NFL outright in picks through Week 8 since, you could guess this one. It's the kind of football player who could be an MVP and lead the league in interceptions.
That would be Brett Favre.
Oh, sure. 2005, the Favre. Not great. Not what you want. Here's Mike Tannenbaum on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, and I think you'll find his thoughts on Saquon Barkley interesting.
I think some of Saquon's value, though, guys, is look at them without him. Like, they go in and they beat the Saint. That Saint win looks a lot better now. The fact that they have a championship defense, and they just show that again against Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Saquon Barkley made the one play in that game that changed everything. And I think because he can make plays out of the backfield,
yes.
If I'm representing Saquon Barkley, I'm talking about Alvin Kamara. I'm talking about Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about Derrick Henry. So the whole do you pay a running back, I think on this team, yes, you do, because he's so valuable.
Don, find you a woman like Mike Tannenbaum looks at the Giants.
I know. So we just when they talk about, okay, so you're gonna have to resign him because look how different it is when he plays. But when does he play? That's the problem.
Well, how about just signing a running back that makes nothing? And I mean, the Jet running back did a nice job when they beat the Bengals, and he got picked in the fourth round.
Listen, Saquon makes some big plays. I get it. But he's not on the field half the time, and not his fault, but it's just a fact. And there's a lot of times where he becomes the reason why you went 3 and out because he lost 5 yards in the backfield. Yeah, listen, we'll talk to Mike on Friday, but he loves himself some Giants.
Oh. Maybe he's up for Gettleman's job.
Listen, he sees something he should be able to see more than I can. He's a former general manager in this league. He knows way more football than I do. But the results, the bottom line, you're 2-6.
Here's
again.
It's not what you want. Can I also say, we didn't mention this much earlier, and I wanted to give Giants fans a little bit of, I don't know, I'm sure some people felt this way, and they deserve it. Well, Michael, you're right. You have to know the rules, and the taunting cannot happen. It kills a drive that could have won the game for them. Maybe that's the game right there. It is such a bad penalty. It is so stupid that they felt the need to up the taunting rules.
Well, you know who's behind it, though? One of the owners that's behind it.
Who's
John Mara.
John.
Perfect. Well, then, you know what? I guess they, quote, don't have a kick coming.
Because that's what I see. You know, even though I'm old school, Peter, how many times I'm like, boy, I'd love football more if we didn't see these excessive celebrations. And this is really just killing the sport dead. Like, did you really feel that? Like, they had to change it. Oh, my God.
I know.
But it makes no sense because they allow them to, like, take pictures in the end zone. But that's okay.
See, yeah, thank you. Like the stupid, oh, I recovered a fumble, and I'm going to run 80 yards with my teammates and pose for a picture in the end zone when I'm down two touchdowns. Oh, that's okay. Do that.
But last night, big first down, the guy gets up, and in the same motion in which he stands up, kind of flings the football forward 5 feet and does a first down motion, and that's a 15-yard penalty?
But here's the thing. It wasn't flinging the ball and pointing first down. That's okay.
So what was it?
It was right after that he got in the defensive back's face and, like, shouted, yeah. And that was the taunt. And I get that because that's a taunt. Technically, you got in the guy's face. But do you know that something wasn't said, like, to him? Or maybe he's responding to something that happened to the play before? Like, I got the whole when Horn pulled out the Sharpie and signed the – I get that that was getting a little crazy.
Horn pulled out the cell phone. Yeah.
In the last year, did you feel like we had to up the ante because it was really getting – no, nobody thought that.
As I just watched it again, I know why I forgot about this. Because the yeah that he says, it's like barely to the guy's face, and it's not even a nasty intent. Like, it's nothing. It's an absolute nothing burger.
Mike, I can understand if a throat slash or you grabbed your crotch or you did something.
Or you really pound your chest in front of them like you're daring them to fight you. That's not what this was. This is so silly.
But
so you're right,
rule.
Michael. You got to know the rule. And, you know, Penny, I'm sure, had to eat it today and with good reason. But it's a ridiculous rule. It's absolutely absurd. You know what, guys? Let's continue, Ian, on the other side, shall we?
Shall we?
It's delivered by DoorDash. Save money on convenience, grocery, and more when you sign up for Dash Pass from DoorDash with zero delivery fees. You're free to get all your faves whenever you want. Sign up for Dash Pass and try it for free for 30 days. We still have Chris Carlin coming up at 6:45 and more ENN right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years as ENN continues.
Wow. Beautifully done by you. Thank you so very much. Moving right along in this ENN, things have not gone great. We've talked obviously about the great success of the New York Knicks. One team that's not gelling so well so far would be my Boston Celtics. I would say if things continue, we could be starting to stare a big blow up and sort of explosion on our hands. Here's Marcus Smart after last night's loss. Talking about some of the issues the Celtics are having.
Without the ball in my hands, I just sit and stand in the corner. When we run in plays for our best players, every team knows that, and they do a good job of shutting that down. We can't allow that. I mean, I would just like to play basketball. Every team knows we're trying to go to Jason and Jaylen, and every team is programmed and studied to stop Jason and Jaylen. And, you know, I think everybody's scouting report is make those guys try to pass the ball. They don't want to pass the ball, and that's something that they're going to learn. They're still learning.
I respect it. Say what needs to be said, Marcus, but that's not doesn't seem like things are peachy there. Have you guys taken a good look at what the NBA Eastern Conference standings look like?
No, I've not taken a good look.
I wonder what the Vegas odds would be on it staying this way. Here's your top eight in the East. The Bulls, number one, 6-1.
The Miami Heat, number two, 5-1. After that, at we have three teams at 5-2. The Knicks in third position, the Wizards at 4, and the Sixers at 5. Followed by the Raptors at 5-3, the Hornets at 5-3, and the Nets at 4-3.
The Nets, wow.
That'll be changing.
Well, still on the outside looking in, of course, Don, you have Atlanta at 4-3, and the Bucks at 3-4.
Well, the Bucks and Nets will be better, but the Hawks are interesting, right? Because that kind of came a little out of nowhere last year. So would it be crazy to think they might take a bit of a step back?
I didn't see it coming.
I wouldn't see it coming. I think they'll end up around the five. I think they'll be a similar team when all is said and done. The question for me is, do the Bulls stay this good? Do the Wizards? I don't – guys, I've been following the Wizards on some level for my entire life.
Since they were the Bullets.
Certainly. I don't remember how many 5-2 starts there have been for the Washington basketball team.
And I saw Ted Leonsis tweet out last night.
Yeah.
That somewhere, I guess they voted and said that their city unis are the best in the NBA.
Stop
like, voted yourself. The best.
Stop.
I think they're very nice.
Hold on.
Stop it, Ted.
City, jersey.
I never
is it the gold one?
The what?
Is it gold? What is it?
No, it's all
oh, no, oh, oh, the West Unseld-looking stripes.
Right, but it says, I think it says Washington instead of Bullets.
Right, that's all right. It's cool, it's cool.
Wait, what color is it?
Red and blue. It looks like you'd picture Wes Unseld wearing it, Michael.
It's funny, whenever you see a certain uniform, you think of a player. And, yeah, you think of Wes Unseld, a big afro.
I don't see it.
You don't see the jersey or you don't see Wes?
I don't see the jersey. Oh, I see it. Yeah, no, I don't like that at all. Yeah.
Wow. Strong.
Detroit's a good one. Sixers are good. Utah's good. Knicks are good. Nets are good.
You know, another one that I thought was horrible was Cleveland.
That one's
horrible.
That
horrible.
Doesn't look like a professional jersey.
No.
It looks like the Knicks jersey from last year with the circle.
Yeah, it
Stop
looks like
it.
It looks like a high school jersey.
Magic is good. Magic got a lot of nice colors. Beautiful. Lakers is good.
Well, you I'm with Rick. I think the Mavericks is very nice.
You mentioned, and by the way, and I said this yesterday, Don, the Dallas one, you think it's a Roy Tarpley jersey or Adrian Dantley.
Right.
That's what you're feeling there. Speaking of Cleveland, Odell Beckham Jr.'s father is not happy with Odell's situation in Cleveland. He did not get moved by the deadline. The Browns were not able, according to Diana Rossini, to get anything offered back to them that was worthwhile.
Is that right?
That's right. So Odell's father, Odell Sr., posted a video, a compilation, essentially, of miscues between Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. And my favorite thing that we didn't mention all day is the caption that we get from Odell Sr. Quote, generally behind the scene, but not today. Hashtag, I'm a father before anything. Hashtag, my twin. Hashtag, my ace. Hashtag, my G.
Bing bong!
Hashtag, I'm hurting FR. Which
isn't that nice?
Which means for real. Hashtag, playing hurt. Hashtag, I hurt for him. Hashtag, this really hurts.
Yes, no, really.
Hashtag, very hurtful.
Like, flush.
Hashtag, disrespectful. Hashtag, when I hurt, he hurt, I know.
Lift it up and show it to me.
Hashtag, I love Cleveland like I love my home. Hashtag, I love my son, Mo. Hashtag, number 7-11. Hashtag, open. Hashtag, 24/7. Hashtag, all love, heart.
You idiot.
Hashtag, Beckham, legendary.
Wow.
At OBJ.
Wow.
The highlight here is hashtag, I'm hurting for real. Hashtag, playing hurt. Hashtag, I hurt for him. Hashtag, this really hurts. Hashtag, very hurtful.
There's a lot going on there.
Hopefully hashtag OD.
Hashtag OD. By the way, yeah, like, that's how you know someone. It's someone's dad. Like, yes, it's Odell Sr., and Odell's dad is probably cooler than most dads, but when you see his out-of-control hashtag use, he's still a dad. Dads are out of control with hashtags. I've seen this in my own life. Disgruntled wide receiver update number two, DeSean Jackson has been released. He put up a statement, "I'm grateful for my time that I spent playing for the Rams, although this isn't the outcome that we wanted. I'm extremely appreciative for the opportunity and support given to me by the Rams coaches and all the fans. I understand that everything happens for a reason and look forward to beginning the next chapter of my NFL career." Thank
in
you.
Las Vegas.
And then he followed it with a quote that he attributed to Hitler. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. No, he did not do that this time. Sorry.
Hashtag released.
Hashtag Jewish. Hashtag allowed to make the joke. Hashtag relax. all right, last thing. We got to wrap. I know. Officially, the Mets fire acting GM Zach Scott 2 months after the DWI arrest.
Can I make a quick point about this? I love Buster, but, you know, Buster only was, like, criticizing the Mets. You know, the Mets did the right thing. Sometimes the Mets can't win. So if the Mets kept the guy and he had a DUI, you'd rip the Mets for keeping the guy who has a DUI. So the Mets got rid of the guy with a DUI, despite the fact they desperately need somebody in the front office. They did the right thing.
So what
they shouldn't be
say?
Ripped for it. He should. They could have kept him around at a lesser level because he has the, you know, he has the mind. He has all the information that they need to move forward. Listen, separate yourself from the guy. That was an ugly incident, man.
Well, wait a minute here. Well, listen, I don't want to argue with Buster and he can't retort, but it's just like, you're disgusted by what he did and he's out of your organization. So what, you have to bring him back at a lesser capacity? Like there's a punishment? No, they didn't like what he did. It was awful what he did. So we were going to let him go. Well, who is Buster to say, well, they could have brought him back? Well, they didn't want to. And like you said, if they brought him back, like, oh, look at the Mets, just enablers. Can't win.
Yeah, they can't win. I actually feel sorry for them sometimes. I mean, they make their own bed, but come on. They do the right thing and they get criticized for it?
By the way, though, after being fired from that job, they immediately asked him if he would take the GM job, and he said no, he would not. He'd prefer to move on. That'll do it for...
Hashtag joke.
Hashtag that's a joke. Hashtag I hurt. Hashtag hurt for real. Hashtag that'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday.
Incredible investment by someone. We'll talk about it, and we'll talk with Chris Carlin in just a moment right here on Yes on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.